and welcome to a new series of Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Schubert to Sherbet are Dave Gorman.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
And Dilly Keane.
Hello.
OK, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my secret personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. And if anyone needs the bathroom, you should have had a bath before you left the house. OK, let's get busy with the fizzy and move into our first top three. Our first category is your top three museums. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for the category in question sits out the chat. In this case, that's Richard Herring. Dave Gorman,
Yes.
Top three museums, please.
Well, I'd start with, and he's more about trying to guess what Richard Herring's favourite museum is, and the Icelandic Phallological Museum, which he has written about in one of his books, and which I know delighted him. And it's basically a museum where they display penises. In Iceland, the country, not the frozen food manufacturer. That would be crazy, obviously. Although it would explain why Mum's gone to Iceland.
Dave, 1 point, first joke of the series.
It's run by Sigurdur Hjartarson. He was trying to get a human penis, and a guy had offered to donate it, an old guy who'd had sex with lots of women and wanted his penis immortalised.
When did he want to donate it, before or after he died?
I do like the National Maritime Museum, particularly they have one in London in Greenwich and they have one in Cornwall, which I like because one of my socks has been on display. There's a man called Tim Fitzhyam who is so eccentric. He only really exists because P.G. Wodehouse forgot to invent him. And he rode from France to Britain in a bathtub for charity, and for some reason he asked me if I would give him a sock that he could wear while doing it. And so I gave him a sock, and it's part of the display at the National Maritime Museum.
That's amazing.
You've got really interesting friends. My mates just go, do you want to come around and play Xbox? I plan to travel to France in a bathtub, and I will need one of your socks.
Russell Howard, museums.
I quite like the Jorvik Viking Centre in York. A friend of mine is into battle reenactments, but they've had to stop using their mobile phones because when they die, there's been too much texting going on the battlefield. I quite like the idea of people fighting and then tripping over someone who's playing Snake. So I like that. And I quite like At Bristol, which is a science museum in Bristol, because I used to work there. It was really interesting because my job was to photocopy the rides or exhibits that didn't make it. And one of the ideas that didn't make it was the smiling Hitler, right? So I'm not making this up, there was a picture of kids pressing something that would make the Fuhrer smile. And they could press another thing that would make him very sad. Surprisingly, they didn't go for that.
So it was the idea if they made him smile, they could change the course of history?
It was just to make somebody smile, and yet somebody went, well, should we make it Hitler? Yeah. I don't see anything dubious about that.
He's easy to draw?
Absolutely, yeah. They had a Mussolini, pull my finger, you know? They didn't, that might have worked, who knows, right?
When you say your job was to photocopy the things that didn't make it, do you ever get the impression that you didn't really have a proper job? That was a let's keep Russell out of the way job. We'll make up some really improbable exhibits and we'll tell Russell to go to the photocopy room. He'll be away for hours.
Why, if they hadn't made it, why did they need a photocopy?
I swear.
Stand round all the other people. Yeah, these are the ones that didn't get in. Everyone will want to see them, though.
They had to be, you know, sort of put away in a file. I've been duped.
And the original piece of paper couldn't be put in a file for what?
Oh, no, it's got to be a photocopy. Russell, I'm going to give you a point for that excellent...
Don't give me a point out of charity.
I am. I'm giving you one out of charity. Dilly Keane, when was the last time you went round a museum?
The last museum I went to was the Umbrella Museum in Genese, which is in the middle of Italy, and sort of nowhere. And I've got a picture of my partner, and it's my favourite photograph of him, because I made him go and he didn't want to, and it makes him look like he's going to his execution. He's got his shoulders up here, and he's going, oh, you're not going to make me go to that bloody museum, are you?
How long have you been going out with Father Jack?
I went to the Uffizi, and it's supposed to be the greatest museum in the world, and I stayed in the queue for an hour, and I actually went backwards. I didn't go forwards at all, because the woman in front was joined by three friends. And I got so fed up, I went to the front of the queue, and I said, how long have you been standing here? She said, oh, 4 hours. And I went, I'm going for ice cream. So, queue, that's fantastic museum. Italy, generally, it's a big museum. The Science Museum. I was studying insects.
For work?
Yes, for work.
Brilliant, you got paid.
Turned me round, I hated insects before, and I love them now.
What's your favourite?
The bombardier beetle.
What does that do?
The bombardier beetle has two chambers at the back of its body, two sacs. And when it's frightened, if you have it in your hand, you'll get a very nasty burn because it suddenly sends these two chemicals out, which ignite at 100 degrees, and it comes out its bum. And I think that's brilliant.
It would be, they really should have called it the bombardier beetle.
Any more museums you want to throw in before we end this round?
The Natural History Museum in New York. It's pretty good.
Better than the one in London?
I haven't been to the one in London.
The Americans understand showbiz because all the stuffed animals in the Natural History Museum in New York are all made to look like they're fighting and eating each other, whereas they're just standing in a row.
Is that right?
Yeah, ours is more naturally historical.
So ours are queuing.
Yeah, ours are queuing.
Time is up on this topic, so I'll be asking you for your final top threes very shortly. Before I do, I need to tell you about a new and exciting addition to the game, the Joker. As usual, if any of your top threes match what Richard Herring has in his envelope, you get a bonus point for each match. But if you're confident you can get some of his answers, you can play your Joker, and you get double points for everything you match up. You've all got one Joker. You have to play it once. Let's go for it. Russell, what are your top three museums, and how are you going to play your Joker?
I'm going to play my Joker and go for the penis museum that Dave said. And then I'll go for the Tate Modern. I imagine you're a cultured man. Finally, I'll stick with my heart, and I'll go for At Bristol.
At Bristol. Why is it called At Bristol?
I've no idea. We just struggled with a name. That wasn't my department. If they'd given me that job,
I'd have got it. Where's this museum at? Well, it's At Bristol. Maybe we should call it that.
But Russell has photocopied lots of sheets of paper with things like was Bristol, will be Bristol,
up Bristol.
Near Bristol.
How about just Bristol, question mark?
Dave Gorman.
I am playing my Joker.
OK. Yeah,
it's a good round.
And I'm going to go with the Icelandic Palaeological Museum, obviously. I'm going to go with the Tate Modern, not because I think Richard is a cultured man, but because I think he'd like to pretend he is. And I'll go with the Louvre as well.
Dilly Keane.
I go for the Prado because I love it. I'm just going to go for mine. And the Umbrella Museum because umbrellas need to be celebrated.
Surely it's bad luck to have them open.
Oh. Are they open indoors?
They might be outside.
Yes, but they're sideways. So I'm going to go for Q because I think it's extraordinary.
OK, let's see if the gamble of our two Joker players has paid off. Richard, let us know which your top three museums are, please.
Number one, the Phallological Museum. The second museum is the Cumberland Pencil Museum. I've been twice. It has the second biggest pencil in the world in there.
Not the biggest.
No, heartbreaking.
Was it once the biggest and then they sharpened it?
And my third one, which I go to regularly when I'm in Nottingham, is the Tales of Robin Hood, which I particularly like because you go in the first room at there, and there's a voiceover that goes, "You are about to leave behind your humdrum lives," which I think is making a presumption about my life.
Okay, Richard, you matched up with Russell and with Dave, who both mentioned the penis museum, and they also played their jokers. They get double points, and that means at the end of round one, in last place, we have Dilly Keane; in second place, Richard Herring; and in joint first place, Russell Howard and Dave Gorman. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. Richard, you're first. Either Or, Jekyll or Hyde?
Jekyll's the man and Hyde's the monster, yeah? I think my mum would prefer it if I was a doctor rather than a kind of maniac who attacked people in the street. But I would quite like to fall behind a sofa and then put my sort of hairy hand on top of the sofa, which is the best thing about being Mr. Hyde. So I think I'd be Jekyll, but I would buy a glove.
That is a watertight answer. I'll give you 3 points for that. Dilly Keane, boom or bust?
Well, I think bust is okay when you're young and you're vigorous and you know you can sort of work through it and things. I'm getting to that part of my life, you know, when I'm over 50, and I'm starting to think of my pension and all that, and so I'm hoping for booms that earn enough money to pay for a very, very expensive care home very shortly.
For that revealing insight into your life, I'll give you 3 points. Dave Gorman, Lord of the Flies or Lord of the Dance?
It's strange how Lord of the changes everything, doesn't it? Because abstractly, I prefer dancing to flies. I mean, it's obviously, it's got to be Lord of the Flies for being just a classic piece of literature and not Lord of the Dance, which involves only dancing with half of your body.
I'll give you 3 points for that, I think. And finally, Russell Howard, Nintendo Wii or shampoo?
See, shampoo gives your hair volume and shine. But on the Nintendo Wii, there's a boxing game which allows you to have fights with members of your family. You can't wash your hair and then punch your mum in the face. You just can't do it. So I would go for the Nintendo Wii.
4 points for that. So we'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move straight on to our second top three. Russell Howard, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top three mistresses. Can you start us off, please, Dilly?
Mrs. Fitzherbert would be pretty good. Prinny. I mean, I know he was awfully big and fat, but if you had the dome at Brighton sort of almost built for you, that would be quite nice. I'd go to a bed with a fat prince. Lily Langtry was the mistress of Edward VII. She had a wonderful life. And she was a very bad actress, apparently, but people thought she was really lovely. And she was touring in an appalling play with really, really bad actors. And apparently what she used to do was, when their scenes got dull, if she was off stage, she'd just walk on and take a bow. And the audience would cheer and go, "Hooray! Lily, we love you!" And then she'd bow and then she'd go off and they'd have to resume their scene. So I think she's pretty good.
This is like a history lesson. I'm going to give you a couple of history points there, I think. Richard Herring.
Anne Boleyn. Well, she was the mistress of Henry VIII. And then he married her. But I quite like it because he also, his other mistress was Mary Boleyn, her sister. He went for the set, and you've got to admire that. he lived the dream. Alan Clarke did better. He did the two daughters and the mother. That's really living the dream.
This is turning out to be who the men you admire.
Yes, it is.
It's your envy.
Does anyone want to just pick any fictional mistresses? We've gone very literal.
Barbara Windsor is my favourite sort of mistress in many different guises. Bettina, I think was the name of the character in Carry On Henry. She was Sadie Tompkins in Carry On Abroad. Very different characters, but as a rule, she becomes my favourite mistress. I think Camilla Parker Bowles has to be up there, just because she gives hope to so many people.
Yes.
You've got Diana, who, you know, the closest we've ever come to a living saint. But vision of perfection, just the most wonderful, ideal person in the world, and her husband prefers Camilla Parker Bowles. It is slightly undermined by Prince Charles's sort of knowledge, what we know of him and his taste in architecture, where we know he basically can't find anything attractive unless it looks like it's been there for 150 years at least.
But okay, that is the end of the mistress talk. Time to give us your final top threes and to tell us if you're feeling confident and want to play your joker, starting with Richard.
Anne Boleyn, Eva Braun, and Edwina Curry. Some would say the worst of all those women.
Richard, you have to have a point. You've got a round of applause for just saying Edwina Curry. OK, then. Dave, your top three, please.
Cleopatra, in particular, as portrayed by Amanda Barry in the Carry On film. Camilla Parker Bowles. Barbara Windsor in many fictional guises.
And Dilly, your top three, please.
Lily Langtry. Lady Hamilton. Nelson's bit of totty. And Tracy Temple.
What did she do?
She was the one...
The lot.
..who gave John Prescott... yes.
God, that, I mean, that's terrible, that one, isn't it? I mean, if I'd had sex with John Prescott, I would just keep quiet.
Russell Howard, please tell us, who are your top three mistresses?
First of all, if you go onto the internet and type in mistress, the top one apparently is a lady called Mistress Linda. I like her mainly because Mistress Linda sounds a bit like a dinner lady from Doncaster. Secondly, Marilyn Monroe, because how great, because not only was she properly hot, she's really funny as well. She was asked what she had on during her Playboy shot, and she said, "The radio."
You could just imagine some reporter going, "Oh my God, this broad's got my caboodle going," or, you know, however they talk. And finally, Jessica Rabbit.
Well, no extra points there, although we do have some from that round. In last place, Dilly Keen. In third place, Richard Herring. In second place, Dave Gorman. And now storming into the lead, Russell Howard. OK, time for another quickfire round. This time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. As our audience arrived here today, we asked them to name their favourite member of the Simpson family, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. Russell Howard, your favourite Simpson, please.
It's got to be Homer, isn't it?
OK, Dave Gorman?
Anyone who doesn't say it's Homer is an idiot.
Wow, OK. Fighting talk there, Dilly Keen.
Oh, it's got to be Homer. He's marvellous.
Wow, three for Homer so far. Richard Herring, are you going to be iconoclastic?
No, because I desperately need the points. It's Homer, but only in the first 200 episodes. After that, he's rubbish.
OK, then, let's find out who was the most popular among the audience. Right down at the bottom, with 8% of the vote, Marge. With 10% of the vote, Bart.
This is the least anticipation of anything.
You don't know what the answer is. With 20% of the vote, yeah, which puts them in second place, Lisa. Wow. And winning with 31%, Homer. Yeah. So you all get points. Well done to all of you.
69% of the audience didn't agree with you, Dave.
Yeah. They're idiots. So, a lot of extra points there. Let's push straight on with our next top three. And this time it's your top three bank holiday films. That is, films that are always on TV on bank holidays. Dave, you're sitting this one out. So, what do you think, Richard Herring?
The Great Escape has got to be the best ever bank holiday film. I kind of pretty much know it off by heart. I've watched it probably 40 times, and I still love it. I still get really annoyed with the guy. There's one guy messes the whole thing up and thinks the same guy is the guy who does the...
What do you mean, the same, like, next time you watch it, it's going to be a different...
Yeah, he's waiting in the tunnel going, oh, why am I waiting in the tunnel? I know, I'll just get out of the hole now. It'll be all right. It's not like there's loads of Nazis around.
Richard, next time you watch it, find out his name.
And I love it when little Ives goes crazy. He goes, I'm getting very close to going wire happy. Steve McQueen comes out and goes, give me the thing, I'm going out tonight.
Give me the thing.
I know the film quite
Bronson
well.
In the tunnel. I've got to get out of the tunnel. I have been in this tunnel. I have terrible, terrible claustrophobia. And he's been digging it for about 2 years.
Well, you can have 2 points for an excellent Russian accent.
And it'd be terrible if there's anyone listening to this who's actually never seen the film. Wow.
Now they've pretty much seen it all. I'll do it all. I like them.
I'll give you a point if you stop telling us your favourite bits. Does anybody want to come up with another film?
Man with the Golden Gun.
Yeah, very good choice. Well, is that all the
Tell me films? Loads of bits from it. Well,
the best bit is when James is getting it on with...
You just call him James?
Yeah, James Bond.
Yeah, that's what we call him, Bond.
I call him James, we get on. Yeah, he's getting it on with Brett Eklund, and from nowhere, a tiny midget appears who puts a knife in his mouth and then drops down, and then Bond puts him in a briefcase and then flings him into a river, turns to Eklund and goes, where were we?
Do you know the name of the character of the tiny man?
Knick-knack.
You can have a point.
I also quite like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. It's a cracker. But just because it's just right when he arrives at England, he's in Dover in the morning. That's a bit of a wonder. All right, Nottingham. He's there. The space of a brisk walk is fantastic.
He's about to leave behind his humdrum life, though.
Dilly, what do you like to watch on a bank holiday?
I can do all the bits from Dr. Zhivago.
I think we're getting points for doing bits. I think this is the level
like,
of this
bit
round.
When Klaus Kinski is playing the Reverend. He's the madman on the train. He's saying, I am a free man. I am the most free man on this train. So I can watch that about 500 times. I like The Great Escape and Some Like It Hot.
It's good, isn't it, The Great Escape?
What's your favourite bit, Dilly, in The Great Escape?
I like the motorcycle chase.
He thinks he's going to get away. He gets halfway.
And it's just all barbed wire.
And then he goes into the...
There should be a little clip of you when The Great Escape's on, just in the corner, just going, oh, I love this bit, sure, look.
Films about getting into Switzerland are quite good, because I like the sound of music as well. And films about making curtains into clothes, I like the sound of music.
They do that
and,
in The Great Escape as well.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
And in Gone with the Wind, which is another great bank holiday movie.
Yeah. Do they make clothes out of curtains in Gone with the Wind?
Yes, they do. She makes a frock out of her drapes.
So the definition, the actual definition of a bank holiday film, is one in which...
You make your clothes out of your curtains.
Brilliant. Very quick go at guessing my favourite bank holiday movie. It's not obscure.
Goonies.
No.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
No. Poseidon Adventure is my favourite film.
It's good when the ship goes upside down and they have to try and get out. They're all fighting to try and get out.
I do know, it's a mystery that you were never a film reviewer.
Okay, I'm afraid there's no more time to talk this one out. Of course, anyone who hasn't played their Joker will have to play it soon. So let's hear your final top threes and whether you're going to go for it now, starting with Russell.
Okay, Man with the Golden Gun.
Yep.
I'm going to go for Teen Wolf and... All right. And Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger.
Richard?
I would like to play my Joker on this because I think I know the exact mindset of Dave Gorman. I think Dave Gorman really likes having machine guns that shoot out custard pies. And that film is Bugsy Malone. I think David hates children and therefore loves the child catcher in the film Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And thirdly, he must have chosen The Great Escape because it's brilliant.
Dilly Keen.
I'm going to go for the three curtain to clothes movies. I've got The Great Escape because it's just wonderful. There's an incredible bit when... And Gone with the Wind and Sound of Music. I'm going to play my Joker.
OK, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs then. Dave Gorman, please tell us, what are your top three bank holiday movies?
My top three movies are... One, because I love custard pies being shot out of machine guns. Bugsy Malone. Yeah. Two, because I hate children. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah. And three, because I love fat women drowning, The Poseidon Adventure.
Good choice.
Have you seen The Great Escape, Dave?
So, with the end well and truly nigh, the scoreboard looks like this, because Richard matched up twice with Dave. That means Dave gets two extra points, and you, because you played your Joker, you get four points. So that means, currently in second place is Dilly Keen, and joint first, Dave Gorman, Richard Herring and Russell Howard. OK, time for another round of either-or. Points for reasons, then, not for answers. Dave Gorman, either-or. 8 miles high or 20,000 leagues under the sea?
8 miles high is 3.5 minutes of psychedelic rock, and 20,000 leagues under the sea is 2 hours of non-stop adventure with giant squids and submarines. So you'd have to listen to 8 miles high 36 times to get the same enjoyment out of it, and you'd have to like it, which I don't. So 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Brilliant. You get 3 points for logic there. Richard Herring, put up or shut up?
Shut up.
No.
Shut up.
No.
Definitely shut up.
I'll give you 2 points then.
Thank you.
Now shut up. Russell Howard, slush puppy or hot dog?
I'll definitely go for slush puppies because it reminds me of a time I tricked my sister into giving me her slush puppy because I went, you're not going to drink that, are you? Yeah. You know it's actually made with real puppy's tears. And she's like, really? I went, yeah, they call them fat and everything. Give us your drink.
And she did.
She did.
I give you 4 points there. And finally, Dilly Keen, Charlotte Church or Shirley Temple?
Shirley has been US ambassador to Ghana and Czechoslovakia during the Velvet Revolution. She's a director on the board of Walt Disney Corporation. She's got doctorates and all sorts of things. I can't really imagine Charlotte having a career like that, so I think I'm going for Shirley.
Shirley Temple.
Except you're... she's a Republican, so I'm going to go for Charlotte.
Wow. 3 points for that fantastic U-turn. Right, well, we'll add those points to the scores, go straight into our final top three. Dilly, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three Australian exports. Russell, please do start us off.
Well, first of all, you've got to go for Richie Beno. The man's a sensation. I like Dame Edna, though, because my brother, the school we went to, the primary school, the last day of school, he had to dress up as somebody. And my brother, age 11, went as Dame Edna. Literally in front of the entire school, went, hello, possums!
Dave Gorman.
I would say the rising inflection.
Ah, yes. Which people have started to do in this country. Just makes everything sound like a question. And also Prisoner Cell Block H.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yes, which I like. You can spot how many times Ian Smith, who is now more famous as Harold Bishop, appears in the show in different roles. He plays a vicar, he plays a father, he plays a prison governor, and he was the script editor on the show.
Was he?
And he was clearly just, every now and then, they couldn't get another actor. And so he was wheeled in.
Does he play all of them going...
Yes.
Yeah.
Richard,
yes, he does.
Yeah. You think you get a point for that?
Yeah.
A point for that impression. Yeah. Kind of an esoteric impression of Harold out of Neighbours.
My favourite one is Jim Robinson from Neighbours is the best export because he dies in Neighbours and suddenly he's in everything in America.
And do you know his name for a point?
Alan Dale.
You can have a point.
Do you know if that's right?
It is Alan Dale.
I could have just said anything.
You're absolutely right, Alan Dale.
But he's terrific.
He was also in Robin Hood's Gang,
he's in
wasn't
the Notting
he?
Museum, isn't he? Yeah.
He literally did leave behind his humdrum life in Neighbours.
OK, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, I'm about to ask for your top threes. Everybody's played their joker, so let us hear from Dave. Your top three Australian exports, please.
I'm going to go with Prisoner Cell Block H, Barry Humphreys stroke Dame Edna, and Rolf Harris.
Rolf Harris. OK, Richard?
I think I'll go for Prisoner Cell Block H. I think I'll go for Dame Edna Everidge. I know, I'll go for Rolf Harris.
OK, Russell, what are you going for?
Richie Beno, Dame Edna, and I'll go Harris as well.
Let's then hear from Dilly Keane. Favourite three Australian exports, please.
Clive James.
No. Clive James.
Yeah. He's the thinking crumpets man, really. And Chardonnay. They introduced us to cheap New World wine, and I'm so grateful. And at the top position, of course, is Kylie, who is just wonderful.
So no matches there. We'll add the points from that round on to the final scoreboard, and that means at the end of today's show, our top two losers are Dilly Keane and Richard Herring, and in joint first place, Dave Gorman and Russell Howard. Well done. So that's all from us from today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, always fight fire with fire, unless you're actually fighting a fire. Goodbye. Banter was presented by me, Andrew Collins, and featured Dave Gorman, Richard Herring, Russell Howard and Dilly Keane. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Alison Carpenter. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.